By the way, Gator, on X, formerly known as Twitter, I'll always still call it Twitter.
That's what it is.
Max Clark has tweeted out, 6-hour road trip to Erie, time for another Q&A. So people were asking him some interesting questions. And the one I found the most fascinating was they asked him basically, what would you do if you weren't playing baseball? And he said he was going to go to law school and special in cybersecurity.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, of course, I had to throw a question out there. Because
of course you did.
Yeah. And he's from Indiana, so it's... And he didn't answer it. Mellencamp or Springsteen? That was my question for him.
Well, from Indiana, I imagine
it would have been.
Well, but even him, but he's too young to really...
Well, but I mean, his parents, I mean, listen to the radio, or they might have it. I don't know.
Axl Rose is from Indiana.
Well, somebody asked, what's the most overrated skill or tool scouts and pundits talk about, and the most underrated? He says, I don't know if there's really an overrated. I think the most underrated is baseball IQ or the ability to understand swing / throwing mechanics and analytics. Interesting.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to
read some of that
his
stuff.
Minor league season now that he's at AA. He's risen up quickly through the ranks, and he joins his teammates from West Michigan, now moving on to Erie with Kevin McGonigal.
His pick for the home run derby by today
and Jose Bresenio
is James Wood.
Yeah, well, I could see that. Tough to go against Cal Raleigh with the home run derby tonight.
You know what? I'm glad you brought up Cal Raleigh because I was there Friday night. And if I didn't know any better, because there is testing. I mean, his home run, not the grand slam, the other one, looked like he just like flicked the bat with like one. I mean, it's like, I couldn't believe he got the ball out of the ballpark. It was such an easy, carefree, wasn't even a power swing. He's unbelievable.
You barrel it up and the pitcher do the work, throwing the velocity in there. And that's, you hit that. I mean, I've always marveled at like the tale of two iconic home runs by the same guy, Kirk Gibson. The home run that he hit off of Goose Gossage in 84 in the World Series that Tiger fans remember so wonderfully, as we should. I mean, got all of it, right? It was this beautiful golf swing, swamp, there it goes, gone. Just destroyed it. The home run he hit for the Dodgers in the 88 World Series in game one that won it in the extra innings. That swing, for that swing to result in a home run is one of the life's great mysteries to me.
Yeah.
I don't know how he did, but it's like a similar thing where he just kind of leaned out over it and
tried to throw it.
Yeah, he had nothing. And somehow muscled it over the wall in right field for that iconic game-winning home run. I never know what to expect with baseball. It's just contact is contact, man. And sometimes you get great contact out of it, and he did, without question. Now he's got two of the most iconic home runs in baseball history. Ben is next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Ben.
Ben. You.
You, Ben.
Ben is gone.
Ben is gone.
Which is a good...
Yeah, because I didn't want to deal with what Ben was going to ask.
So I know.
We won't have to worry about that. Speaking of which, actually, we'll get that at 118. I wanted to get to the rumor that you're tired of hearing about, but it's not a baseball rumor. We'll get to that, like I said, at 118. But you mentioned before that you think this weekend could have been a blessing in disguise.
Yes.
For the Detroit Tigers. Well, elaborate on that, please.
Well, first of all, for their fan base that was convinced that they were good enough to win it all without doing anything. And there were, not everybody felt that way, but there are a good proportion of the fan base did. I think it's a blessing in disguise because now you can wake up. And I'm not one of those who thinks that Scott Harris and company believe that they were good enough to do that too. But maybe it's a blessing in disguise where, all right, we got to address this quicker than I might have wanted to, which is mean wait till the deadline and then make moves. Maybe do it like tomorrow. Try to start making some trades because you want to get this done before somebody else might get the closer or the reliever that you want. And if you have to pay a little more, fine.
I think what's what other teams might focus on more than what the Tigers have focused on is the definition of the word closer. Because A.J. Hinch doesn't like the word, I think it helps the Tigers because they don't have to be locked into got to get the closer from Team X. Mm-hmm. What the Tigers are going to look to do is to get the guy who can get swings and misses from Team X. And I think that's probably more important because they don't, you know, the way they look at the end of game situation, it's about matchups always when it comes to the pitching staff. And they want to match up their best back end arm against the best that he'll have to face. And if that means it's the eighth inning and you bring out your quote unquote closer to pitch the eighth and somebody else pitches the ninth, that's what he's going to do. So other teams might focus on got to have the closer from, you know, whatever. They'll say it's Emmanuel Class A. The guy have Class A. He's a closer. They got to get him. Okay. You can focus on that. But what the Tigers would rather have is the guy that isn't defined what he is. He just gets guys out because he gets the swing and miss.
Right.
And maybe that works to their benefit as well.
That's what they need more. They need relievers who can strike guys out. And you're sitting there saying, well, as long as they get guys out, they don't have to be. No, they need. There are times where you got to have a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Because a ground ball out sometimes leads to a run if the guy's on third base.
Which is why it was intoxicating for them to go ahead and take this chance on Hernandez, because he can get the swing and miss because he's got this 100-mile-an-hour fastball. The problem with it is that he still hasn't been able to control it, let alone command it. Control is finding the strike zone. Command is working the strike zone. And he does not have command, nor does he have control. So that's the problem with Hernandez. But it's enticing because you see the talent, without question. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Got some more ticket texts coming in. Regarding the player Michael Oliveto, the second pick from the Tigers, 34th overall, 18-year-old kid from Long Island who had a chance to go to Yale. Still has a chance to go to Yale here, but I'm guessing he's going to take the offer from the Tigers to play to start his minor league baseball career. And I said, I thought this would be a dilemma if you're a parent. If you've got a kid that has the opportunity to use his talent to get a degree from Yale, that maybe you'd rather see the kid use that as opposed to just go ahead and try his hand at achieving the dream of playing Major League Baseball by starting off in the minors. And part of my reasoning was go to Yale, and after 3 years, you get drafted again. And you'll be just a year away from getting your degree, for the most part. Not everybody will do it in 4 years, but that you can be on your way to getting that degree. And you might even improve yourself, your draft standing, because maybe you've had a heck of a year or two at Yale, and now you're a top 10 pick instead of being the 34th pick overall. So got some ticket texts on that, saying he can always go back to Yale if he flames out in baseball. I don't believe the Ivy League has athletic scholarships. They don't. They offer grants, and there are ways to finagle around without having an athletic scholarship. But does he get to go back to Yale? If he's not going to be there to play baseball, is he going to Yale?
Maybe.
Don't know. Well, maybe. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know what his scores are in ACT and all that stuff. But, you know, Yale is pretty exclusive. And if he's got an opportunity to get there because of baseball, hard to pass that up to play minor league baseball is my point.
Maybe he'll do the inverse of Danny Wolf. He'll go to Michigan and then he'll go to Yale.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Slot value for the Oliveto pick is $2.8 million. He's not worried about tuition when and if baseball career ends. Because you cut that in half, and that's how much money he would have left over, and that would clearly be enough to pay for his school no matter where he goes.
Right.
But my point is, I don't know if he's going to be able to go to Yale if he doesn't go there now.
Well, unless you're going to be, specialized in something that they only have at Yale, is it really that big of a difference besides the prestige?
Yes, I think there's a big difference with getting a degree from Yale as opposed to getting a degree from, you know, no offense necessary here, Tennessee.
Okay, yeah, but there are still Vanderbilt, Northwestern. There are other good, really good schools.
Yes, there are.
That aren't Ivy League schools.
Yes, but if the only reason you're getting into those schools is because you can pitch, and you're going to try to go in afterwards. If I get drafted as an 18-year-old, I've got an offer to go to Yale, and I turn that down because I'm going to go play minor league baseball. And then I realize after 4 years, this baseball thing is going to work out. Now I want to go back to school. Are you going to be able to go back to Yale?
Maybe.
Because again, it all depends if you've got the test scores as a high schooler to get yourself in
right
there. if the only reason you got in there in the first place is because you're athletically gifted, that's my point, is hard to pass that up, because 4 years down the line, if you don't have the academic wherewithal, those skills to get in, and now those doors are closed to you, yes, I think it makes a difference. The prestige of the school would have made a difference, because if you're an average student, but you get to go to Yale because of baseball, and then you graduate with a Yale degree, it means a heck of a lot more.
That's true.
That, I guess, is my point. I go with the minor league route over Yale, just because the opportunity for you to always go back to school and play baseball after a few years, if the minors don't work out, is always there.
I don't know if you can go back to school. You can't go back to school and play.
No, because he'll always be smart. Well, I don't know if he's, again, I have no idea how smart the kid is or not. If he would have gotten into Yale if he didn't play baseball, I don't know. However, the opportunity to go to the majors will not be there after a few years at Yale. Just like how NFL players leave school and can always go back to get their degrees later. That's Tim in Farmington Hills. Different from that standpoint, starting off at a school, get drafted into the NFL, and if you haven't graduated, and then you can go back, you can always do that in football. The other way around, not so much. It doesn't seem to work out that way. The opportunity to go up to the majors may not be there after a few years at Yale. It may not be, but I think it probably is. If you're drafted 34th overall and you decide to bypass the draft and go back to college and go to college, and then you're there for 3 years and you get your draft eligible again, if you are good enough to have, if you're talented enough, wouldn't you expect you to have a chance to actually to improve your draft standing?
You would think.
You'd be drafted again. Now, you're taking a chance. Are you going to be better than 34th?
Yeah.
Don't know. You might. You may not be. But if you're not, if you're still drafted, then you got it, you're three quarters of the way there with your degree.
You know who played baseball at Yale? Ron Darling. And I believe the current general manager of the Red Sox, Craig Breslow.
George W. Bush, wasn't he there?
Yeah, but I'm talking about major leagues.
George Herbert Walker Bush, yes. Not George W. Bush.
He was a first baseman.
248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Stoney is tired of this player and rumors, and see if you agree or disagree. We'll talk about it next year. 97.1 The Ticket.